Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And we've just finished chapter 7 of Proverbs. We're moving on to chapter 8. Before we jump in, I'd like to invite you to visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Take advantage of, the programs there you can listen to at no cost, at any time, on demand. Send me an email. You'll find a link there to email me. I would like to hear from you, just to say you're listening. Anything. If you have any questions, comments, or challenges about anything that I'm saying on the air, I would be glad to hear from you. Okay, let's jump back into Proverbs here, chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O you simple, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. You know, I find few people have the patience to go through a book like this in the scripture, but it's very important. I mean, how many people want to be wise? Well, don't we all want to be wise? I like the idea of being wise, but I don't want to just be wise in my own eyes. I want true wisdom. And here, it's everywhere. In every situation, there's wisdom to be found. There is truth. Because wisdom, here personified, says, for my mouth shall speak truth. Speaking of wisdom, my mouth shall speak truth. And understanding, true understanding is in the truth and not in lies. And you know, the truth is self-evident. We just have to look for it. Jesus said, seek the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, there's truth in every situation. If someone gets on the TV and they open their mouth and they speak lies, or they mix a little lie with a lot of truth, well, my job as a seeker of wisdom, as one who desires understanding, is to discern what is the truth. And if I can't discern what is the truth, perhaps I can research and find out what is true. But I can't just accept everything that's told to me and just accept it as the truth. That's too simple. And I don't want to be simple-minded. I have to look for the truth. And the truth, if I find it, the truth may be that someone is lying to me, and that would be the truth of the situation. But it's always present, and it's always evident, although sometimes it's very hard to see and it's very hard to find. It's evident to those who know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, let's say about a particular thing, you may want to research into it. And you may research something, and you may not be able to find the truth. So the truth would be, I don't know. I can't find the truth, so I can't make up my mind one way or the other. And that's the way it is about a lot of things and a lot of ideas in the scripture. And to draw a simple illustration, it's like, who was the author of the book of Hebrews? Well, there's a lot of ideas, and I've looked at them all, and I've come to the conclusion that I don't know. And I've come to the conclusion that, given the evidence that I've been able to research, that there's no way I can really know who was the author of Hebrews. I could surmise and say, well, perhaps it's Paul. Perhaps the arguments for Paul are good or better than another. And even though I think that the arguments for Paul being the author of Hebrews may be better than the arguments for Peter being the author of Hebrews, to be honest with myself and to uphold the truth and the integrity of my heart, I still have to say, the truth is, I don't know. However, I will see men come down adamantly vociferously on one side or the other on that type of controversy. And I've come to the conclusion that I can't really know, but I've seen the arguments. But there's not enough empirical evidence for me to come to an honest conclusion. And that's the truth. And sometimes that's where the truth leads me. And usually if the truth leads me to the conclusion that there's not enough empirical evidence for me to come down on one side of an argument or another, it's usually not a very important argument, because who cares? I mean, the truth is, you know, that, like the book of Malachi, who was the author? Was there really a prophet named Malachi? You know, was his name really Malachiah? Okay. Or was it Ezra? I don't know. Don't have enough empirical evidence to make a decision, but so I'm not gonna be dishonest with the truth and decide on one side of the argument simply because what argument sounds a little better, when the truth is there's not enough empirical evidence to come to a conclusion. And that's how I deal with the truth. And you, like I said, usually I find for those things where there's not enough empirical evidence to come down on one side or another, I usually find that they're not important arguments. Because the truth is that our Heavenly Father is the author. And that's why it's called God's Word. He penned it through the hands of men. And sometimes it's not important who the man was. So we just don't know. Someday we will know. I believe that to be the truth because His Word says we will. So there's something that I'll come down on the side of and say, yes, I know that someday I will know all things and all questions will be answered, important as well as unimportant. So there you go. That's the truth. And that's an illustration of how we use and we search for the truth and how we can be honest with ourselves or be dishonest with ourselves, or how we can allow bias to persuade us into something that we honestly cannot know, that we cannot really, truly know the truth of wisdom. So in verse chapter 8, verse 7, for my mouth, and we're speaking of wisdom and understanding personified, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. So that's what we're looking for. When we're seeking wisdom, when we're seeking understanding, we're looking for the excellent. We're looking for the right things. We're looking for the words of truth. And if any abomination is mixed in with it, then we reject it. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth. And, you know, it's wonderful that I can sit here and read this book today and understand it. It tells me that I have understanding. And where did I get this understanding? I got it from this word, from looking at it and reading and meditating on it for more than 30 years. It didn't come easily. I didn't have it when I first sat down and read it. It was nonsense to me. I mean, actually nonsense. I can remember thinking that this doesn't make any sense. It was only the Spirit of God that gave me a few jewels now and then, enough to keep me going. As I sit and I ponder the effect of His Spirit in my life before I even had understanding, or when I had little understanding, I am so grateful that His Holy Spirit kept me from grave errors when I was very young. And perhaps it was simply because I had that hunger, even though I didn't have the understanding, I didn't know the wisdom, that I was thinking to myself, I'm going to read this book because it says for someone who wants to be wise. And, well, when I was 19 years old and I started reading the Word of God for the first time in my life, something in me, and I think it was a gift from Him, said, I want that. I want wisdom. I want understanding. So, and I hope that everyone listening to my voice, and I still want it, you know, where does it end? When do I have enough? When do I have it all? How deep does it go? You know, the idea of my cup overflowing. I like that. You know, I can never get enough. Let it overflow. Let it keep coming. Perhaps if it overflows, it'll get some other people wet. Maybe some wisdom will splash off onto other people, so let it keep coming. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge, to receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. We have the same theme here, and repeat it again. Anything you could desire is not to be compared. You know, and it's like Yeshua said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, his righteousness comes about by his commandments, you know, and here we are. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. And all the things that you desire cannot be compared to wisdom, godly understanding, and keeping his commandments. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And he says in verse 12 here of chapter 8, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Yes, that's a bad word in the world, prude. They call you a prude. Yes. Well, if they call you a prude, then perhaps that's a good thing. It's someone who acts with discretion. Someone who acts with wisdom. Someone who says, no, I won't. You know, when sinners entice thee and you consent not as instructed by this book, they will call you a prude. And oh, you don't want to be called a prude. You got to go along now, don't you? Don't be simple-minded. Let them call you whatever they will. But you follow his commandments. For I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions or devices. Fear. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Young men, young women, as we was talking about, seeking him early. And I guess when I was a youth, even though I was so far from him, just the seeking of him, I see that he has honored this in my life. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. But you know what? Even though I sought him early as I could anyway, as soon as I got a Bible in my hand and began to read it and understand, and I didn't get a Bible until I was 19 years old, but I love them that love me. And you know what? I continued to make gross errors in my life. He stayed me from the worst things, from making the worst decisions in my life. But he worked in me. He had patience with me. My Heavenly Father did, in writing his law upon my heart. He didn't want to destroy me, and he didn't want me to overwhelm me so that I would run away. He has wisdom, doesn't he? And he works with each one of us according to who we are, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. But the thing is to start to seek him and to love wisdom and to love understanding. And then he says this, I love them that love me. And this is personified. This is wisdom. This is understanding speaking to us. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So you seek him as soon as you can, as soon as you find it out there, as soon as you understand that there's wisdom from our Heavenly Father, there's secret wisdom that the world, that the simple-minded who just follow the flesh, that they don't understand, they never will understand, they don't see it. Yeshua called it the mystery of the kingdom of God. It's a mystery to the world. It's a mystery to those that don't understand. It's a mystery to those who are going, wow, maybe this is something I should look for. I need to find out what that mystery is. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. Durable riches. These are riches that will last forever. Not the riches that fade away. Not the riches that when you get old and you reach the retirement of the world, that you're too old and weak and your vitality is gone and you can't really enjoy it. You know, not that kind of riches, not that kind of retirement. This is his retirement. You know, with all of the promises of the resurrection, all of the promises of never suffering pain and sorrow, you know, the promises of good health forever, no more tears. These are the riches that endure forever. And righteousness, they come with righteousness. Riches and honor are with me, yes, durable riches, and righteousness. Righteousness is key. Doing what is right in his sight is by him. It is his righteousness that we put on. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. You know, and of course he's speaking about, you know, most people say, well, what's gold and silver? Who cares about gold and silver? Because most people don't care about gold and silver. All they care about is getting, you know, the dollar. And that's the way the world, what they're chasing today is, they don't even have real money, and they're chasing after a paper fiction. But then gold and silver was money, you know. Today it still is real money, though very few people have real money. But he says, my fruit is better than money. My fruit is better than gold, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So, you know, it's better than the best money. You know, today the euro is worth, 72 cents, you know. So if I was going to get a unit of money, I'd prefer the euro over the dollar. You know, it's 168 on the scale or something like that. But it's, you know, so that's the fine money, you know. That's the choice money. That's what he's saying here. The choice silver. Because, you know, the governments would, they would mint coins. And some of them would be pure silver. They would debauch the money by mixing in, you know, so much of, whatever, you know, whatever they could get away with to rob the people of their labor. But it said, my fruit is better than gold, than fine gold. And that means the 99.9999% pure. And my revenue than choice silver, you know, the purest silver. I lead in the ways of righteousness. So, you know, there's a clue. If you have wisdom and understanding, then you're being led in the ways of righteousness, because that's where true wisdom, godly understanding lead. They lead in the way of righteousness. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And, yes, you know, that's pretty close to what Yahshua, Jesus, said when he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Yeah, he'll take care of you. And don't be like the world, he said, for after the world, after these things do the world seek. You know, that is their main object in life, is to gain, to get money, to get the fine job, to get the position, to get the better car than their neighbor, to get the best thing that they can for themselves. And so they seek things, and that's what they seek. But by wisdom and understanding, we're led in the ways of righteousness. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then we don't have to worry about the things. Because here we see that wisdom personified provides those things for us. I'd lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Yahuwah, the Lord, the actual name, the tetragrammaton in the Hebrew is used here. Yahuwah possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. And here we're speaking of wisdom and understanding personified. Yahuwah, he established the creation by wisdom. And wow, when you look around and you see this just awesome creation, you see the work of his hand, you see what he spoke into existence, the details of the DNA, and just the details of every single thing, how it all works together, the wisdom of it all. I mean, it's just overwhelming, his creation is. Before the mountains were settled, Before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. And it reminds me of the phrase, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's wisdom. Before he created anything. And he said, if we go to Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose, whom he predestined. And why did he predestine us? Because he saw everything, all of creation, by wisdom. He knew everything, and everything was planned, right down to you and me, and all of the trials and tribulations that we would go through, all of everything that we would have to deal with, and all of the effects that sin would have on his creation. He planned for it all by his wisdom. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a couple minutes.